Before I get to your manifestos, and I know you want to talk about your manifestos and all of those expensive promises, but I want to deal first with two themes that have been consistent since this election has been called. And I think the first one of those is trust. This is something we've been hearing about on the doorsteps. I know you've been hearing it. Would you accept, Simon Coveney, that trust is thin on the ground at this point in the political cycle?
For everybody or for...
In general, a general sense of a dearth of trust in politicians and the political system.
I mean, I think people want to ask the hard questions. I think politics has become very direct in terms of the conversation between people who are canvassing and the electorate. I think they're rightly very demanding of the system. But I also think people recognise that we've made extraordinary progress in the last 9 years. Ireland was in a very dark place 9 years ago. Unemployment was extremely high. About 80,000 people were leaving the country each year. Our financial decisions were being predominantly influenced by the IMF. We had a 23 billion euro deficit.
Okay, I think we do remember.
No, I just want to set the context because I think there is a recognition that we've moved well away from that space now and we have full employment. But there's also a strong expectation that that strong economy needs to deliver better public services. And there's an impatience for those, particularly in healthcare. And that's why people ask me, you know, very searching and hard questions as to why things aren't improving faster, particularly around A&E here in Cork. So they're honest conversations. But I think people do want to believe in politics, but they also want... They want real answers truthful conversations.
Well, can I put you then, in the 2016 general election, Fine Gael campaigned for that whole election promising, their big, big promise of that campaign was we will abolish USC. And within, I don't know, a month afterwards, that just got set aside. That was no longer on the table. So is it any wonder that people will look at your manifestos and indeed other parties' manifestos and say, this is what they're saying during the election?
Well, look, I mean, we've taken hundreds of thousands of people out of paying the USC and we've reduced the USC burden too. So,
But the promise was very specific.
Yeah, yes. And
you acknowledge it wasn't delivered on.
Well, the USC became something slightly different because it became a combination of the health levy and the USC. We made decisions that I think were the correct ones, that the country couldn't afford to move away from that income at that pace.
And all the opposition parties were telling you that, as are all the other parties,
well,
were saying
actually.
That during the campaign there was a general sense that your big tax cut pledge was too much. We couldn't afford it.
I'm not sure all the other parties were saying that actually, Katie. But the truth is that we have tried to reduce the tax burden for everybody. In a progressive way over the last 5 years. But we have also had to focus on increasing expenditure on delivering public services.
Okay.
I
want to let our other panellists in on this. And Michael Burry, I mean, Simon Coveney made the case there for you. People will look at Fianna Fáil and say, you have some neck asking us to trust you now after what happened 10 years ago. It's too soon.
No, look, I think it's a challenge for any politician or political party to earn the trust of people and then to fulfil that trust.
And it's easy to lose it.
Yeah, it is easy to lose it. And it is a major job to rebuild trust. We have done an enormous amount of work as a party over the last decade to rebuild that trust and credibility. Particularly on economic issues.
Are you getting it on the doors, though, Michael McGrath?
And I think we've made very significant progress.
Are you getting it on the doors? People are saying, I after what happened, I can't go there with Fianna Fáil again.
A small minority of people. And I think when you look at the opinion polls, you will see that there is a welcome for the Fianna Fáil message. I think people respect the really responsible role we have played in the last number of years. And I know we'll go on to talk about Brexit in a moment and the importance of that. And that is why we did what we did. And I don't think...
Is it though?
I don't think
is
the media...
Can I put it to you? Because we've heard this constantly. That,
yeah.
Look... Fianna Fáil did the decent thing, the noble thing. We held up. We kept the government, the show on the road, because we needed stability for Brexit. But isn't there, you know, if you were more cynical to look at this, you would say that it was politically convenient for you to have Brexit there, because at all that time you were behind Fine Gael in the polls. Yeah, no, you probably weren't that anxious to go knocking on doors.
That would be a cynical view, because it's wrong. There were plenty of opportunities to bring down the government over the last number of years. And
yes, but at all those times you were behind Fine Gael in the polls.
You know,
and was it not more politically convenient to sit there, let the shine go off their shiny new leader?
I can tell you hand and heart, Katie, that that was not the motivation of our party. The motivation for the last 4 years was to do what we genuinely thought was the right thing to do. And we are meeting some people at the doors who are frustrated that we kept Fine Gael in office for too long. And we're having to explain the reason why we did that. But when it comes to trust, you know, people do feel very let down that after 9 years of Fine Gael in government, there is an enormous crisis in housing, in health. Crime is escalating. People do not feel safe in their communities. We've spoken about disability services already, and then issues like insurance, childcare. There are so many issues where the progress has not been sufficient, and in fact, we've gone backwards on many of those.
Okay. I want to let Donegan. I mean, your issue really, I suppose, is that you haven't had a record that can be critiqued like we've just done with Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil there. You're untested. And the issue that's emerging during the course of this campaign is that you're being run by shadowy figures in West Belfast.
I think that's a really silly argument being made, not by you, Katie, but by some of our political opponents, to be honest. I think it has no basis in any kind of grown-up reality. I think what I'd say as well, like, a lot of people after the local elections last May would have written us off. I think there was talk in Fianna Fáil parliamentary party meetings of lock the door, that we were outside the gate and to lock the door. Now, we will see. We will see what this election brings. But what I think people have underestimated is the fact that over the course of 20 to 25 years of electoral politics, we have built up a lot of trust from our supporters. An awful lot of people have put their faith in us. An awful lot of people have put their faith in us to deliver, because they felt that their voices were not being heard. Now, we have a responsibility to them to try and deliver for them. And we want to try and to get into government, to be in a position to deliver what are really ambitious policies, but are necessarily ambitious policies, to deliver the largest ever programme. That's not the case.
If we're talking about trust.
I didn't talk over you, Simon. Now, where we start from is we look at the needs of society, we identify what they are, and we figure out how we're going to try and deliver them. That's the way I approach problems.
But you then make the next step and figure out how to pay for them.
Sure. Pardon? Yeah, no, we absolutely have, and you can see that very clearly in our manifesto. Every element of it has been costed.
You're committing to spend €22 billion, Donegan. What are you talking about? That's twice what the Department of Finance says.
We've identified very, very clearly where the revenue comes from.
Any provision
and
for public sector
pay? Can I say as well that there's an awful lot of the measures that, when you make the right investment at the right time, that will save you money later. It's incredible that we will spend more this year on subsidies for emergency accommodation and on private rented subsidies for people who are on the housing list than we are spending on building houses. So when we build the houses, we won't have to spend as much on emergency accommodation, people in hotels, and HAP and rent supplement and things like that. And I would say, we're getting on the doors. There's a recognition that if we don't deal with these crises now, they will be with us for another 10 years as they have been for the last 10 years. Now is the time to deal with them.
Okay. Do you want to say, so in terms of, because you've now stepped back from the main fray since the last...
Well, it just strikes me, Katie, and what really worries me when I look at the sort of auction politics that's going on is that, it's Groundhog Day. You know, I heard this morning, for instance, that there's now talk that Fianna Fáil are going to introduce an SSIA-style scheme again. I mean, you know, so that people can pay for a deposit for a house that is not available and simply isn't there. And it just frightens me that we will find ourselves in a situation once again where, you know, the economy will overheat, Fianna Fáil will do what it always does and, you know, then step back. But that's the facts, Michael. That's what has happened and that is what's going to continue to happen. And that really worries me. And the other thing that worries me as well is this business of, you know, you can give people massive tax breaks and yet at the same time put huge investment into public services. Now, any you know, person managing a household budget knows. You can't give all your money away on a Monday to the person that caused your door and hope to feed the family for the rest of the week. It just simply doesn't add up. And they know it doesn't add up. And that's what worries me. Because, you know, we started this discussion about trust. And you can't expect people to continue to trust. And I think the only thing that's emerging from the arguments in this particular election is that, you know, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are now relying on the fact that the Irish have short memories. That's now what they're relying on. The short memory politics. You know, that was 10 years ago. It wasn't
Labour,
done.
Labour might be hoping for a few short memories as well, Kathleen.
No, no, no.
You're hoping even shorter memories, Kathleen.
The Labour Party. The Labour Party, at the end of the day, were the fire brigade who put out the fire that Fianna Fáil started. Now, we suffered for it and suffered well for it. And we're still suffering for it.
Well, but
Michael, you know, we didn't collapse the economy. We didn't come back this time round to look at another Charlie McGreevy style budget. We have it, so we'll spend it.
Simon Coveney, you're trying to get in.
I think this election, come polling day, will be about trust. I think all parties have made mistakes in the past. That's true. I would actually commend the Labour Party for their role in trying to put an economy back together that was fundamentally broken by Fianna Fáil. Yep. Populism and incompetence. And I think that when you look at the manifestos now and you ask yourself the question, you know, who do you trust to maintain an economy that's strong enough to pay for all these public services? I mean, in many ways, like the manifesto launches by all parties has been effectively everybody showing how they can spend the money that has been created largely by Fine Gael economic policy for the last 9 years with the assistance of the Labour Party.
I have to get Michael McGrath over there.
Let me finish the point. Because you know, you asked me the question in relation to the USC, you know, as if that was somehow comparable in terms of a trust issue with what Fianna Fáil did to the country twice in my lifetime, not just once.
I think I did ask Michael McGrath exactly that question about that.
Yeah, if I may. I mean, Simon, you've had a very long run. Your leader and others went around in the last election holding placards, "We will abolish the USC." You earned votes on the back of it, and then immediately after the election, it was abandoned. That is a breach of trust, whatever way you dress it up.
Not quite as big a breach, though, as what happened in 2009.
If that's the only thing you can point to, given Fianna Fáil's record.
We have been very honest with people in the course of this campaign. Simon talks about the money that has been created by Fine Gael and that people are basing their manifestos on that. The manifestos are based on projections, forecasts from the Department of Finance that may or may not turn out to be correct in terms of what is available over the next 5 years. We have laid out very clearly what our plan would be if those forecasts are true in terms of the use of up to €11 billion, having a reserve, increasing the rainy day fund, and then having a 4-to-1 split.
Okay, and I want to go into that detail in one moment. Can I just get to one other issue? Because I said there was two issues. Trust is one of the issues. The other thing we keep hearing about is change. That people want change. Simon Coveney, how can you convince people? If we were told in that first poll, it was really striking. 75% of people who responded in that poll said they want to change. So how, as Fine Gael, they've been looking at you for 9 years in there, how do you convince them that you were going to bring them change?
I think it's really difficult for any political party to get a third term in government in Ireland. You know, I think Irish people automatically say...
And many people might think you shouldn't get a third term because remember what happened last time.
Perhaps, right? But I don't think there are any comparisons with Bertie Ahern's attempts to try and win a third term.
You were promising to spend more in that election, by the way, in 2007.
If you want to start talking about 2007, Michael, we can talk about that. I think people's memories will decide their own minds.
More, but that's the truth, Simon.
The truth here is that we have... made spending commitments which are consistent with the Department of Finance forecasts. Unfortunately, Sinn Féin in particular have decided to ignore
change.
That.
I was asking about change.
Oh, sorry, but on change, I mean, I think people have to ask themselves the question, what does change mean here? You know, we have an economy now that's one of the strongest in the European Union. We're running a surplus. We know we can afford to pay for the public services that we need to invest in and reform.
And you're saying...
And so I would say...
Be careful what you wish for.
Be very careful with what you wish for.
Okay, Michael McGrath, I'm just going to put this to you as well because...
Sure.
You know, it should be a good thing for Fianna Fáil that 75% of people are looking for change. But aren't you very associated with the regime that has just come out of government? You support them, confidence in supply. Is this coming back to haunt you now?
Well, I hope not. I mean, we did it for the right reasons. We did it because we genuinely felt that it was in the national interest and it would not be good for Ireland as the Brexit crisis was playing out to force a general election or perhaps multiple general elections on the people.
Are you getting...
And that, you know, that was the reason and the sole reason why we did what we did. And, you know, we were in opposition. I had no government department to run. I had no advisers, no civil servants. We had no executive responsibility. And of course we have to explain that to people. And yes, it is certainly coming up at some doorsteps. But it pales into comparison with the frustration that is out there and the anger that is out there among people at the failure to deliver reforms, the failure to deliver on the things that really matter. People want to feel safe in their communities, they want to have a roof over their head and they want access to healthcare when they need it.
Okay, and we will get on to those public services. Donnacha.
Like, I mean, a huge amount.
You should actually, I should say this about Sinn Féin, like, obviously, this is your catch cry. You know, if you want change, vote for us. But there is the other side of that coin, is that the only way you can implement any of those policies is if you get into bed with one of these guys.
Well, I come back to the whole issue of government formation, and I will say that we are very anxious to the opportunity to implement our solutions to the various problems that face the country. But, like, in relation to change, like, we have had for the last 4 years a bit of a con job where Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have tried to dominate government and opposition at the same time, despite their policies, really, and whatever about the debates at the minute, and there'll be rows and all the rest of it. But I think after the election, I think you'll see that, again, the policies will coalesce, and that's been the case. Like Fianna Fáil say about their role in government, like, every year they promised a housing budget, and you still end up with the situation that you're spending more on subsidies than you are on building houses.
Like, we had 10,000 social housing stock last year, which even on the terms, to even acknowledge, there'd be
11,000 this year.
Okay.
Look, I mean, there wasn't a single affordable house built under any government scheme in the term of this government, and that's a fact. And it is a huge issue as well. Like, I mean, yes, we need social housing. We also need to do something for the very, very many people who don't qualify for social housing and who can't get a mortgage.
We should acknowledge the headlines in the news, the 9 o'clock news this evening, that those December figures showed the biggest drop in monthly figures since they were compiling those homeless figures.
Katie, could I just say, just to give people an example of what is happening on housing. Back in 2014, there was one social house built in Cork City by Cork City Council.
Okay,
they currently have 1,200 under construction across 70 different sites in the city. That's the pace of change in terms of housing delivery that's currently happening.
Okay.
A month after the last government was formed, a very well-known local politician in Cork, Maureen Quill, very respected, I met her in Fitzgerald's Park and I said, well, what do you think, Maureen? Well, she said, it's like this. She says, Enda, she said, is in government, but Micheál is in power. And I think that sums it up. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have been in power for the last 4 years together. And,
absolutely,
you know, all of the things that have happened, you know, they had the power. They could have brought it down at any stage. And it is ridiculous now to have this mock argument about who'll do best. You know, changing Leo for Micheál, in my opinion, won't make that much difference, and that is not changing.
You know, it's fine.
If people seriously want change, then they should look at the alternatives, not what's already been there.
Simon, I'm going to ask you to stop.
It's a bit rich to listen to all these parties now who sat on their hands when this country needed someone to step up to the plate and provide stability
Are
at a time of
serious,
national crisis.
Are you serious, Michael McGrath?
He sat on your hands.
Absolutely. He ran away. He collapsed the economy, destroyed the country, and the Labour Party stepped into the breach.
Okay, one voice.
You refused to play any role in government.
Because of it.
That's
and there
the reality,
you are.
Kathleen.
And we're changed.
It just suits
no
your
change.
Agenda now to say Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael were in government together. You know damn well we weren't in government the last 4 years.
Yes, you were.
And it's only nonsense. And you ran away just like Sinn
Féin. Can I ask
you
about the next?
When someone was
the next coalition that we might be looking at. Kathleen, as you were on the microphone there, Brendan Howlan, I'm a bit confused because I understood he was ruling out anything to do with Sinn Féin. And then after that leaders' debate on Monday night, he had the line, well, I'd be happy to sit down with Sinn Féin if we could get over these trust issues. And then this evening telling Brian Dobson, I would not see the Labour Party involved in any arrangement with Sinn Féin. I don't see any situation where that would arise. Which is it?
Well, I'm not certain. I heard what Brendan said, and I'm sure Brendan is absolutely certain about his own position. But I would say, and I don't mean this in any derogatory fashion, because people are elected but in the same manner as everyone else, and I think they deserve that respect. I think Sinn Féin are a party in transition. And I think in order to facilitate that transition and ensure that transition occurs completely, within the democratic process, I think it is wrong to rule out discussions with any party, and that would include Sinn Féin's. But could I just add this, and I might even put a bet on it. I think I can guarantee at this stage that Sinn Féin will find a red line issue that will ensure they cannot go into government, no matter who talks to them. And whether that's a national poll on...
So you don't believe Sinn Féin actually want to go into government?
I don't.
Why is that?
Because they want to continue to build from the safety of opposition.
Accept that's the case. Look, I mean, the institutions have been re-established. And we have a track record in government in the north. We want the opportunity to deliver in the south. We do want to be in government.
Do you have any preference at all?
I think we'll approach it. I have no desire to, I suppose, necessarily work with either Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael personally.
But you accept that the only way that you can deliver on your policies is to do a deal with one of those two parties?
I've always personally been of the view that I would rather work with progressive parties of the left, and certainly I would like to talk to them in the context of any government formation. But I think of all the sizeable parties, we are adopting the most realistic and grown-up position, to be honest, because both Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are trying to argue with maths at the minute, to be totally honest.
No,
this is a fact, Michael. Any of your preferred outcomes won't happen. They can't happen. And I'm not sure, and to be honest, the excuse changes all the time. As far as I'm concerned, the real reason is that you don't want to give us the opportunity because you think we might supersede you in some communities, because we have the potential to deliver, I think, on a lot of the key issues facing people, things like childcare, how expensive that is, but you won't give us the opportunity. Now, I actually think you're balking at our ambition more than anything.
Is that the case that one of the many reasons that you might balk at bringing Sinn Féin in from the cold, if you want to put it that way, is that they eat your lunch, basically?
Absolutely not. I mean, we take Sinn Féin on the ground every day of the week in all sections of our society. But I do want to make the point, what is not realistic, Donica, when I look at the budgetary plans and the spending of €22 billion, a complete failure of any attempt by Sinn Féin to reconcile your budget plans here to the space that's actually available.
But
there's no attempt to actually reconcile it. It's just extraordinary stuff.
Sinn Féin isn't even trying to be responsible.
Opening negotiating position?
This is a kamikaze economic strategy for Ireland. And I think we have to call that out. And it suits actually Sinn Féin to be attacked by Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael at the moment. I think they're deliberately doing
You're
that.
You're doing them a favour right this second.
We need to be honest with people. If we want to keep people employed in Ireland, if we want to continue to have the resources to be able to pay for the social change that we need, we have to be responsible and honest with people. And Sinn Féin are not being honest with people.
No,
they're promising something that they cannot deliver and something that will fundamentally undermine the economic model in Ireland, which pays for everything. It'll be middle-income earners again who will be targeted by Sinn Féin.
I have to go to a break, but we will continue this discussion after these.
Email latedebate@rte.ie. The Late Debate with Katie Hannan on RTE Radio 1.
And you're welcome back to The Late Debate, coming to you tonight from Cork City. I'll just give you a sense of, we're getting a lot of text reaction to our panel discussion this evening. Late Debate. Éamon O'Caoimh has previously said that Sinn Féin is the natural party to be in government with Fianna Fáil. He has, hasn't he, Michael McGrath?
Yeah, well, you know, that's his view. He's entitled to it, but it's not the party position and it won't be changing.
He's not the only one saying it in Fianna Fáil. I think there's quite a few. There's up to 10.
There's been a lot of cooperation between Fine Gael and Sinn Féin in the last Dáil.
Sorry, there's been a lot of cooperation in Northern Ireland to get a good job done there, which we managed to achieve.
No, even aside from that,
but
on
there
domestic
is
issues,
no ambiguity.
Anyway,
there's
no point playing games. We said,
God forbid that you cooperate
in
national interest or anything like that.
Gentlemen. Michael McGrath points, this is a tweet, Michael McGrath points out to Simon Coveney on Late Debate that Fine Gael policy in 2007 election was to spend more money, but don't forget Labour policy in 2007 was to reduce stamp duty to keep the property bubble going. OK, we've got silence from Kathleen in response.
You've gone very quiet there, Kathleen, for once.
I think the story of 2007 is pretty well documented.
OK, I'm just telling you now, there's as disappointed as I am with the current Fine Gael-led government, particularly regarding the dreadful housing crisis, personally, I would only consider voting for Fianna Fáil if they had a leader who, unlike Micheál Martin, was totally unconnected to the last Fianna Fáil-led government that drove our country over the cliff. And there's more in that line. Sinn Féin talk about all they would do in general election 2020 promises. Why haven't they delivered in Northern Ireland, where they are actually in power? And there's plenty for all of you to go around there in terms of challenging your statements. We're coming up to the last 10 minutes. So I'm just going to ask you very, because this is really, I suppose, at the end of the day, people want to know, what will your policies mean for them in their pockets? So I'll ask you first.
We didn't get to Brexit, by the way.
We did have a discussion on Brexit.
Sorry, I thought we were coming to...
And we'll try and get to it. But can you tell me, Simon Coveney, your taxation policy, your main taxation pledges, who is it aimed at and what will it actually mean in the pockets of that person?
Yeah, so we have two big taxation initiatives that we're proposing. One is... to try to take more people out of the USC. So we believe that people who are earning the minimum wage or the equivalent of that if they're working part-time, in other words, people who are earning less than just over 20,000 a year, that they shouldn't be paying USC at all.
So that'll take lower earners out of the USC. And your other one is for the top
rate.
And the
second
rate.
One then is to give middle-income earners a break. People who pay for everything and look for very little back from the state. What we have said is that it is not fair, in our view, that someone who's earning 35,500 euros, that every euro that they earn over that, that they'd be paying 40% income tax on that. So we're going to increase that ceiling up to 50,000 euros. That's quite expensive, but we believe it's a good initiative. And that will give middle-income families a significant tax break over the next 5 years, which we believe they've earned. And we also
believe it's sustainable. Just the second half of my question. So if I'm earning, say, that the first tax break aimed at the lower earners.
So if you're earning in and around 45,000 euros or so, the change that we're proposing to implement will be worth about 3,000 euros for you over the next 5 years.
At the end of that period, 3,000 euros a year. Yeah. Okay. Michael McGrath.
Sure. Well, look, we said from the beginning of the campaign we're not going to get involved in an auction on tax, particularly with Fine Gael. We know their record. We already spoke about it in the promise they made in the last election.
We have
proposed a number of targeted tax changes, a reduction of 1% in the main USC rate, which currently is on income from about 20,500 up to 70k. So anyone with income up to that and higher will benefit from that reduction.
How much are we talking?
Well, it's 1%. So if you take somebody on 40,000 euro, they save 200 euro in USC. They would benefit from the increase in the entry point of 3,000 euro by 20% of that, which is 600 euro. We then have a number of targeted tax credit improvements as well. The home care tax credit, which is a very good tax credit for lower income families where one person stays at home to mind children or to care for somebody. They can still work part time and have a certain income. We propose to increase that by 400 euro, to equalise the self-employed tax credit with the PAYE one, and also to increase the age-related exemption from income tax for people over 65. But I think what we should not do is narrow the tax base dangerously, which is what is proposed in some cases here, because that would leave us very exposed. So ours is targeted, and also we are making the overarching point that our core priority is investment in public services and having decent services that people really need. That's why we have the 4-to-1 ratio. That's what we mean by an Ireland for all.
Like, I mean, when you talk about the money in people's pockets, you have to take into account not only what comes in terms of either before or after tax, but what goes out. And where Ireland is different to an awful lot of other Western European countries is that people are expected to pay a lot more for public goods and public services. So what we want to do, yes, we are favouring targeted tax reductions, including
You've
reducing...
You've got a massive cut promised in your...
Yeah, but they are targeted primarily at low and middle income earners rather than some of the tax cuts that will primarily benefit the very highest earners under Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael. But what we're also doing is... What we're ensuring is that what goes out is reduced. So we want to reduce the amount that people pay on childcare, which is like a second mortgage for families here in Cork and probably in Dublin and many other parts of the country, by €500 per child per month. We also want to give people free GP visits. We want to tackle insurance. These are significant bills that are going out constantly. They are, like, I mean, childcare in particular is absolutely crippling for many families.
But you raise an extra €4 billion in taxes.
And we've accounted for every single penny that we're going to spend. But what we want to do is...
Remind people, Donica, who are you getting those taxes off of then? Who's going to pay for those?
Well, like, I mean, there are a number of taxes in relation to things like intangible assets, a levy on those who earn above 140,000, 5% on the income earned above 140,000, and a number of other measures that we believe are fair. But also those people...
The only person I'm getting here is that the person earning over 140,000 is going to pay a 5%
levy. But look at what they get back, Katie. Look at what they'll get back. So they unlike Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil, they will get a reduction in the cost of their childcare. No. They will get extra GP visits. Simon talks about it being unfair.
I am no economist, but I really doubt that a 5% levy on people who earn over 140,000 is going to get us €4 billion.
Well, look, you can look at the manifesto. Obviously, there's a whole suite of measures, and there's also, as well as running a €3 billion surplus per annum, which we would be looking to do, and that's accounted for. We're also looking at the overall amount of money that the economy is taking in. This point of it being unfair to people in terms of tax. What's unfair is that an awful lot of people who pay tax don't get what they should get back for it. And that's help with childcare, that's help with education, that's help with third level fees.
Let's talk a little bit about what's being promised. Because there's huge expenditure being promised here, which is populist and it's dishonest. Right? The biggest tax measure that that Sinn Féin are proposing is €722 million a year from what they call intangible assets. That's essentially taxing intellectual property.
Recommended by the now chair of the Financial Advisory Council,
The truth is that will probably be a once-off, and then a lot of those assets will simply be moved out of the jurisdiction. No. So this is a three-card trick, which is about trying to pretend that we have money that we do not have.
One quick point,
that is what Sinn Féin are trying to do in this election. They are trying to promise people something that is simply undeliverable.
The Sinn Féin tax plan will result in more than one in three income earners paying no USC and no income tax, completely unsustainable. The Fine Gael tax plan will benefit one in five income earners. The Fianna Fáil one is far fairer and more sustainable for the country.
I'd have to go to an ad break, Kathleen, if I can.
Email latedebate@rte.ie. The Late Debate with Katie Hannan on RTE Radio 1.
And you're welcome back. Katie, I wish I could knock all their heads together. It's not about all their squabbles as parties. It's about ordinary people trying to sustain life, says one of our texters. Very quickly in our last minute, Kathleen Lynch.
And ordinary people trying to sustain every day, whether it's working parents who are desperately not just trying to pay for childcare, but looking for childcare as well because it's unavailable. Whether or not you have an elderly parent or someone that you love who's in need of care and can't get it. Whether or not you have have someone going to school, and it is a nightmare come the start of term with books, uniforms, and the Labour Party intend to ensure that primary school education is going to be free, like was promised a very long time ago. Also health, we're going to have to ensure that our health service is fit for purpose, and it isn't. I think it was Brendan Drum under Fianna Fáil said that we had too many beds and that no one would need them anymore. Well, we know that not to be true, and that's just the type of politics we had in the past.
Okay, and I'm afraid that is where we have to leave tonight. I'd love to have another hour here to talk to this panel. We were just getting started, but that's it for tonight. Tonight's programme was produced by Brian Lally, broadcast coordinator was Colin Minogue, research was by A.B. Philbin Bowman, sound was by Niall O'Sullivan in Cork, and I want to thank my panel for joining us, wish them the best of luck with the rest of the campaign, and now hand over to Late Date with Colin Murray.